Armenians have a deep and rich history that dates back thousands of years. Throughout this rich history, Armenians have been persecuted but stood strong against all odds. That tenacity has been put to the test many times, including in the 90s, in 2016, 2020, and most recently, this past September, when neighboring Azerbaijan started bombing within Armenia proper. With this resilience comes a change in Armenia and its people. Join us as we dive into what is happening to Armenia and how its people are being affected. Pati Luis, my name is Sophia. I'm the co-host of this podcast. I'm joined with Executive Director of the Pottos Foundation, Peter Abadjian. Good morning, Peter.
Pati Luis, Sophia.
So we are recording this podcast having both just returned from Armenia less than 10 days ago. And I think it's safe to say we both felt a palpable change throughout this most recent trip. What felt different for you this time around?
You know, it's interesting. I was there in the summer, and then I was there again in the fall. And from the summer to the fall, the influence of additional visitors was significantly different. There's more and more Russians in town. There's more and more Ukrainians in town. There seem to be more Indians in town. Usually you would see sort of or feel the Persians that were visiting, but now they were literally dwarfed by the amount of Russians and families and Ukrainians. There were times where we walked around the city and only heard foreign languages. And it was mm-hmm. rare to hear, Armenian at times. And that was something that was very strange. The other thing was this tone of seriousness throughout the city and throughout the country, really. Restaurants were not, playing music and, having that party atmosphere that, always seems to exist in Yerevan, regardless of what's happening throughout the country. So those things had just gone dark, and it was a bit of a more serious demeanor by the people.
Yeah, I felt that as well. Usually we're dancing by the end of every dinner, and there, like you mentioned, that party atmosphere, it was not really happening around us, and we weren't really participating. We weren't initiating that kind of party atmosphere. So I did feel that seriousness. What felt the same? I mean, like from my perspective, there's still, even though it was serious, there's still that Armenian warmth and that Armenian hospitality. And although, walking around, it did feel a little different with some new friends in town. But, I do think there's some things that stayed the same. So what did you feel that felt the same?
Really interesting. I think there's a lot that feels the same. The restaurants are still buzzing. The amount of culture you're experiencing is still, in abundance. Like you said, the warmth. I'm curious. Did you have any opportunities to go out in the evenings and bars and clubs and all of that?
We went out to a few wine bars and a few places like that, and they were packed. So I think it was less dancing and celebration and more of an embrace of each other. Mm-hmm. So again, I think as Armenians, we're not alone people where we seclude ourselves and we're alone if we're sad or going through something. I think if anything, the opposite happens. So at least wherever we went, it was packed everywhere, and groups of people, friends, again, a lot of foreigners, but you could feel this warmth of pulling like your loved ones close or seeing your friends, maybe appreciating that a little more than before. That's kind of what I felt and noticed. But it wasn't a party. It was enjoying life, but it wasn't a, let's turn the music all the way up and dance.
Yeah, that's interesting. But a lot of, everything seemed to be, that sense of normal was throughout the country. So there were, everything's moving along. Nobody's, kind of waiting for the next, incident at the border or, whatever the next official statement is made by, pro or anti-political parties, whatever. Like that stuff is secondary to the fact that there was just an awful lot of living taking place, normal routine things happening, progress being made on, new businesses, efforts, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm sure you've experienced this. I experienced it before my, we came for the second half of the Service Armenia trip, and I experienced this where I was getting a lot of questions as to why I was not canceling the Armenia trip, why we were still going. And you decided to move forward with the Service Armenia Young Professionals 2-week trip. How did you make that decision, despite cancellations? The group dwindled down because people were canceling and the fear around visiting. What was your kind of thought process on that?
We really took a solid look, obviously, at safety and what the real situation is, and adjusted our itinerary accordingly, obviously. But the incidents that were taking place were not on were not in communities that we would take our Service Armenia group to. Or spend, overnights in. I mean, we would go to Goris, for instance, and spend the night and then go to Hunsoresk and go down into the footbridge, go walk down to the footbridge. But, that's absolutely now a border community. And, for safety purposes, we didn't take the group. Now I went, and I spent time there and I, went to the front lines, et cetera, but that had nothing to do with our Service Armenia trip. So, based on the, boots on the ground, our team there, we felt confident that, the situation was safe and we could be responsible for our group. And, God forbid something, terrible happened. We had our, exit strategy and, we could get everybody home safely. But yeah, so it was a calculated, it was sort of two things. Number one, we took that major calculation into factor that, everything was going to be fine. And, even if something bad happened, we could, still protect our group. That was number one. And number two was, this is not the time to take our foot off the gas. This is our time to put the foot, the pedal to the metal and, rally troops to Armenia and let people see what's happening and get, experience that firsthand. To counter some of this nonsense that we all unfortunately follow on a minute to by minute basis on social media platforms about who's doing what and what they said and this is happening and this is an attack and this is not an attack. I mean, yes, September 12, 13, the Azeris did attack, but it's also seemingly changed the playing field a bit. We lost some territories. There were, a couple hundred people that were killed. There was, a fair amount of infrastructure damaged. But at the same time now, this history we talked about during the opening, and this, traditional position that Armenia's been put in, sandwiched between East and West, seemingly has taken a bit of a shift, and it's relatively, I think we're experiencing that period now. So I absolutely thought it was important for us to be there and be on the ground and get a firm reaction from what's happening.
Definitely. And actually, during the trip, we were able to sit down with Eric Hagopian, and he has a lot of great insights on what's happening in Armenia relative to the world. And it's always incredible to hear his opinion on things. And he was actually saying how, drawing a comparison in 2020, we were mourning, we were in almost like shock as to what was happening. And now in 2022, people are doing something about it. People are, trying to make a change and trying to rewrite what could be our history if we just sit around, and they're trying to do something about that. And, you know, he also paralleled that to Armenia has become a much more metropolitan place with all of the Russians, Ukrainian, Indians, all of these people coming to Armenia and calling Armenia either their home or for a short amount of time, spending time there. It's really made Armenia a place of many people. Whereas before, when you'd walk around, you would only hear Armenian. And like you mentioned, you walk around and you're hearing other languages. Armenian is actually the minority language you're hearing. So I'm curious, do you agree with his opinions, or what are your thoughts on what he had to say about that?
You know, I have known Eric for a lot of years. I've had the privilege of knowing Eric for a lot of years. And honestly, what he does for our community is absolutely key. We don't need people screaming their opinions. We need people taking it in and providing a bit of analysis so that, you know, he can, you know, he forms an opinion and brings a greater context to these, you know, very difficult issues he addresses on his, you know, weekly podcast. And I'm super glad he does that. And we need more people doing that, quite frankly, because, you know, the more people you have analyzing, the more opinions you have out there, and it helps people, you know, better understand the true situations there. You know, I can tell you something, but if 10 people tell you that same thing, then maybe that's actually what's happening. You know, it's that kind of approach. And our community has, you know, lots of people screaming, but not necessarily lots of people, you know, taking the time and effort to analyze these situations carefully like Eric does. So I'm super pleased that he was able to meet with our group, and he brought up, you know, sort of these two things like you just summarized. Yerevan and really even other parts of the country are becoming more and more metropolitan. You know, this blend of Russians and Ukrainians and Armenians and, you know, Europeans and Indians. And it's changing the way society is becoming in Armenia. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, this influx of Russians primarily with their businesses and with their monies and with their families are trying to, you know, rebuild their lives. You know, his thought was, and I think based on some surveys, that, you know, most of them would return, but, you know, up to 20% of them would remain. And I think that's a net benefit for Armenia, because it's brought in, even though the dollar drum evaluation rate, the currency exchange rate has tanked because of the influx of, you know, other currencies. It's good for the Armenian economy. You know, restaurants were packed. There were more than one day that we'd call for reservations. You can't get reservations. You know, Russians aren't just there visiting, they're there living. So I saw, you know, I witnessed children being taken to local schools. I witnessed, you know, families going grocery shopping together, you know, all the normal things that take place in a society, that's taking place in Armenia. And Armenians and Armenia is doing a pretty excellent job sort of quickly adapting to those things and, you know, making sure people speak Russian, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the second part of that is, you know, what's happening with you know, sort of Armenia's demeanor. And, you know, Eric, I think very rightfully pointed out that, you know, like you said, in 2020, everyone was sort of in shock and in mourning. And now after this new round of attack and sort of the Western involvement in, you know, this new involvement in peace negotiations, et cetera, you had a people are now thinking about directly what they can do to change this reality. You know, the slogan, you know, our future is in our own hands is exactly what people are looking at. There's groups and individuals, you know, investing in technologies and doing things differently that, you know, they should have been doing 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But, you know, this last attack seemingly has made people think. And that can, you know, absolutely benefit Armenia in the future. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, what would you tell someone, you know, who's planning a trip? Summer is usually the most popular time for people to go. Someone's on the fence about planning their trip because that kind of starts around now for the summertime. What would you tell them? What advice would you give them?
Don't go.
Don't go.
Yeah, don't go in summer. Go in the spring, go in the fall, go in the winter. You know, I understand that vacations are such that, you know, summer tends to be the best for family travel and or for, you know, our service program that we run in the summer, for instance. But Armenia really is a incredible place. And, you know, I enjoy my spring trip and my winter trip, you know, perhaps as much or more than my, you know, summer trip. I mean, summer's great because you see people, family, friends from all around the world. You know, the cafes and bars and restaurants are buzzing, but, you know, the restaurant scene's still there. The tourist scene is still there in the winter. You know, I've always wanted to experience New Year's there. I haven't done that yet. You know, I would love to be there. You know, it's, you know, different seasons have different fruit coming out. I mean, you know, I guess it's important for people to go. Mm-hmm. I would encourage everyone to book trips right now and rush to Armenia and figure out, you know, and if nothing else, just go and spend money. But if you can, you know, go there and make contacts and think about, you know, opening a business or investing in a project or working on something while you're there, do it. Armenia needs us now more than ever. I've always been a cheerleader and I'll continue doing that. But it's important to do it. And I was being a little facetious about summer, but honestly, I'm not. You know, it's really great to go there off season as well.
It is. This is my second year doing October and not sweating the minute I wake up to the minute I go to sleep is a great feeling. And it's crisp and there's a, you know, the leaves are changing. So a fall trip, if you can make that work, or like you said, a spring trip, those are ideal times to be there weather-wise, at least.
Well, and honestly, it's a little less expensive as well. Yeah. You know, there is something to be said for, you know, not making the airlines as rich as we're making them and, you know, taking advantage of, you know, less expensive hotel rates, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. The off season is, but we might be making it a peak season if we keep talking it up.
It's true.
So you kind of touched on this in your last answer, but our signature question, what can people do to get involved? So, you know, maybe Armenians are jaded, morale is low, but what can people do to kind of reignite their love for Armenia and getting there? And what do you recommend?
I think given the situation we're in, I think we really need to think about broader strokes. So I think people need to listen to more analysis. I think people need to gather facts and do their own analysis and really put their own opinions together in a manner that which helps them draw conclusions what's right for them and their families. You know, there's, I'll give you a short example. There's a million Russians that made the decision, you know, made the financial decision to relocate their businesses to Armenia to, you know, obviously to try to avoid sanctions, to be able to continue operating, whatever. But, you know, that move has made a significant dent in improving Armenia's economy. I mean, the growth numbers are ridiculous. Armenia's economy is on fire. And that's, you know, going to have lasting effects in the long run. It's a good thing. You know, I think if you make the decision that, you know, if you're going to listen simply to every time there's a, you know, a bullet shot in Armenia, whether we're shooting or they're shooting, then just, you know, we're never going to get anywhere. So I think the thing that people can do is take a, you know, try to get a real understanding of the situation, and make that decision, you know, what's right for them, their friends, their family, et cetera, and move forward, as we did with our service trip, you know, as a small example, you know, made the decision that yes, we can be safe. There's no problems. Let's go and do this.
Yeah, no, that's a great outlook to have. And if anyone is interested in visiting Armenia, our last podcast episode, we had a guest, Shake Derjeyan from Sima Tours, and she talks all about the different things you can do. So you're not alone. You know, there are resources to figure out the best type of trip for you and something that you feel comfortable and safe with. And there's options. So we'll still be going to Armenia, and we hope to see you guys all there as well. Thank you, Peter, for all of your insights. And, you know, this is sometimes not an easy thing to talk about, but I appreciate you helping us understand the situation a little bit better. And thank you to all of our listeners. We hope you have a great day.